when they produce toxins that impact humanity, so they either get into the food chain and they impact seafood supplies, or they kill fish, or they can also produce a very high biomass unsightly bloom that has some other impacts.
What do they look like?
Absolutely beautiful. Devote your entire life to it.
So it seems somewhat counterintuitive, this thing that can potentially cause damage can be so stunning.
It's Beauty and the Beast. Most of them are golden brown in color. They're not green like the land plants. They're very different pigments. And most of them are golden brown. And some of them, at their occurring great density, can discolor the water with slightly reddish tints. And an old name for these phenomena were red tides.
And so you were talking about when they do bloom, potential for toxicity. How does that affect humans?
It's mainly through the aquaculture and fishing industries. So particularly around the world, aquaculture is a very important growing industry. And now it's up to about half of our seafood around the world is produced through aquaculture. So when the shellfish is grown in the presence of toxic microalgal species, it's producing these compounds, then shellfish, as you know, are filter feeders. So they're going to pick up whatever happens to be in the water around them. And that, if that's a harmful toxin, then you can produce shellfish which are harmful to humans to eat.
Makes us sick.
It makes us sick, exactly.
Have there been examples of that, where there have been toxin-infused shellfish that humans have consumed?
Yeah, so the very first description of this phenomena of human illness, we call it paralytic shellfish poison, goes back to 1793. Captain Vancouver landed, he was now called Vancouver, five of his crew jumped the ship, ate some blue mussels and died. And Captain Vancouver then tried to communicate with the local Indian tribes, what is going on? And they somehow made it clear to him, you stupid Europeans, don't you know when the water is discolored or the water is bioluminescent that you don't eat shellfish? So a lot of native tribes have learned to live with this and monitor for it.
Is that the only indication, a colour notifier? It's like, it's that time of year, no shellfish. Or are there other ways to kind of register what's happening?
So I originally come from Europe, and all the time I did grow up in the Netherlands, we were all told when there is an R in the month, you do not eat shellfish. There's a lot of folklore that has learned to live it. In particular, religions like the Quran, for example, it is uncouth to eat shellfish. They clearly must have had some problems, decided shellfish shall not be consumed by human beings.
And so how do we monitor it today?
We have a pretty systematic process. It's run by the Food Authority, state by state. And in New South Wales, the New South Wales Food Authority monitor shellfish aquaculture every fortnight. So the farmers themselves go out in their dinghy and they collect the water samples. And then they filter them down, and they also collect one with a net. They take the salinity, they take the temperature and a few other variables like that. Then they send it off to an analytical laboratory where someone sits under a microscope counting and identifying what species of phytoplankton there are there. And that's where you've got to be able to know the one with the spike here is such a species which is toxic or not toxic, whatever the case may be. So
sounds like you have to have a sharp eye for that.
You certainly do.
And then insert global climate change pressures. What sort of impact is that having on harmful algal blooms? Are they becoming more frequent?
That's a big question that occupies a lot of people's minds all over the world. The only real thing that we can say, these problems will become more unpredictable. They're starting to turn up in areas that we have been monitoring. We never saw them before, and now certainly it is happening. So we had such an event in Tasmania in 2012. So people had been looking in the water, but we never found any species that was of real concern. So shellfish actually were harvested. They were exported to Japan, and our Japanese colleagues did a much better job. They actually picked up toxins in our Tasmanian shellfish. Not only is that truly embarrassing, that led to a global recall of all Australian shellfish. It was just before the Christmas season. A lot of shellfish had been harvested from the different states, including from New South Wales.
Just before Christmas. Yeah,
and it was all out in airplanes, going out to different parts of the world. then suddenly people decided Australian monitoring, it actually was Tasmania's fault, but Australian monitoring is not up to scratch. All of that shellfish had to be redrawn from the market. That alone costed Tasmania $23 million. We never dared really to talk to the other states in Australia because, you know, New South Wales or Victoria or South Australia potentially could have sued Tasmania for the loss of income just before the Christmas season. That's how serious a small mistake can be.
How do you rebuild a reputation after an event like that?
Well, it's not simple. I mean, I think it's something that the industry spent a lot of time thinking about. They went out and produced a very big detailed report about the causes and consequences of the bloom and the economic and social impact and so on. They had a big rethink of their whole monitoring program in Tasmania, and they've now produced a program that's a lot more intensive in terms of the amount of samples taken.
We had in place a sampling program where shellfish farmers had to submit samples. A single toxin analysis costed between $500 and $800 per sample. And we had to wait for 7 to 10 days for a result back in Tasmania. This clearly was unworkable. So we done just about 4 or 5 years of work where we calibrated and ultimately validated the use of a pregnancy type of test kit where the shellfish farmers themselves can do a test in 20 minutes at a cost of $30. And then they can decide, this is a good day, the shellfish are clean from toxins, let's harvest. And so we will have this in place next year. The shellfish farmers can do the test at the farm gate. If the test is negative, it's okay to go to the market. Only when it's positive, the samples will still have to be sent to an analytical lab like in Sydney. And we're just building out a lab in Tasmania as well.
Going off that unpredictability, is it kind of like cat and mouse to just be like, well, if something really throws us into a tailspin, we have to then quickly adapt to that? Is it like that?
I think the global expectation now, certainly from seafood that's being produced in Western countries, that it should have been properly tested for a very wide range of algal toxins. But developing countries that don't have this expertise, they're very strongly reliant on seafood for their, you know, their primary diet. And so I just come back from Chile. Last year, they had an event of an algal bloom that killed in one go $800 million worth of salmon. The whole economy just was on its back. And people were falsely accusing each other of having caused this algal bloom. People were just receiving death threats. They were burning each other's houses. It's just complete chaos. So we should never allow this to happen in Australia.
I would add to that that definitely in Pacific Island developing nations, this is a growing problem because in those sorts of countries, they're very reliant on locally caught seafood for their nutrition. And also fisheries export industries can be really important in those countries. And they have seen a growing incidence in relation to certain climate change effects like coral reef disturbance and rising temperatures. So the exact impacts are not fully understood yet, what causes what, how it's all linked, but they have seen these increases.